down to the wire. What we'd like to do in this segment is we have several questions remaining in the audience. We'd like the candidates, if you could, maybe just to jot down some notes and to try to incorporate an answer to some of the questions into your final remarks, which we'll give you a chance to do in our last segment. Laura, if we could just get those questions out there, please. Actually, could you just come forward? I'm sorry, we're having some technical problems here. There we go. And you're Barbara Katz?
Yes, thank you. I'm Barbara Katz. I'm a parent of three boys in the Madison Metropolitan School District, a junior at West and two boys at Cherokee. And my question's about curriculum. There's been a lot of conversations about heterogeneous curriculum versus homogeneous curriculum. And for people that need clarification, heterogeneous curriculum is when ability groups are mixed in classrooms and it's taught in a differentiated, inclusive manner. Homogeneous curriculum, as I understand it, is very closely aligned with ability tracking. What I'm curious about is how the candidates, what the candidates think that how curriculum should be, should move forward in the district to meet the needs of kids adequately.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. And did you have a question? And again, what we'll do is we'll ask these questions and give you a chance to answer in your final remarks.
Good morning. My name is Joan Knabel, and the first thing I want to say is thank you, all of you, for running. I appreciate your civic responsibility here. My question dovetails with Barbara's, and that has to do with the accessibility of parents to get these questions before the school board. I think someone earlier said, what do you mean by status quo? And the status quo, from my perspective, is can people in the community who care about an issue like heterogeneity get that in front of the school board in the way it's currently comprised? The answer is no. The Performance and Achievement Committee isn't meeting, and the president of the school board who controls the agenda doesn't let it come on. And that's not the only issue, is heterogeneity issues, contract issues with the teachers union, and so on. It has to do with the public's ability to get an issue out there. Whatever your opinion is on the answer to that subject, it is whether or not we can have an open discussion. And the reason I think it's important to back Maya and Lucy is because I think they would represent an opportunity for individuals in the community to be able to step forward and get their issues at least on the agenda, whatever the outcome. Thank you.
Okay. And Laura, we have one last question, I think.
I just have a budget concern. Several years ago, I sat with a building custodian who said, "This is the building services budget. I'd love to publish it in the newspaper, but I'd lose my job." He said, "Here is $25,000 to wire the Doyle building. We could have wired the city of Madison for that. Here is $20,000 for a concrete ramp for a school. It should have cost two. Here are 25 laser printers. You know, each of us on our own pays much less, and yet they bought 25. That year I talked to the school nurse who said the price paid for Band-Aids, if she had gone to buy individual boxes at the most expensive grocery store, you know, was much more and no better quality. So I was wondering, could that budget be open to public scrutiny so we really know what we should be paying and so that we're not constantly cutting the arts and sports and making those opportunities only accessible on the private level? And also, real quick, last year we heard the CEO of WEA Insurance, and he said very shortly, the average price for a teacher's family's health insurance would be equal to her salary. And, I mean, we all know we need national health care. But in short of that, he suggested that if, as a state, we could bill centrally, purchase pharmaceuticals centrally, we could save millions of dollars.
And so we've got budget issues. Part three is budget accountability. And, Ernestine, you have a very quick question, if you could?
Very quick question. I think that language sets African-American and the Hispanic populations apart, and especially in school. Or school could be one place that we could actually start making some inroads. What would you do to encourage that interaction? And would you see that starting the second language for African-Americans, perhaps, to learn Spanish, how would you facilitate that?
So we've got the intellectual equivalent here of a ropes course to finish you all off. We'll see how you do. We're going to be back with Forward Form with some closing remarks in just a moment. And and welcome back to Forward Forum. We do want to let anyone know if you would like to, if you missed part of this and would, or would like to let somebody else know about it, please come to our website at themike921.com, and we will have this available for people to listen to in streaming audio form between now and the April 4th election. We had a flurry of questions before, again, and we're joking. Please do your best, perhaps, to address some of the issues. But this is your chance to summarize your feelings on this issue, again, particularly emphasizing the concerns of students and families in Madison's minority communities. We'll give you each about 3 minutes for some closing statements, and starting with Maya Cole, seat one.
Thank you, John. I encourage everyone to go to my website. I think it can expand on more of my ideas than the 3 minutes allotted. But I just wanted to say that I think that Madison does have great public schools. I call them my islands of excellence. There's areas where I talk to principals and teachers and look at classrooms, and some things we're doing really, really well. But I think we need to expand them. And what I would like to see is that we embrace education in a different way and look at as communities of learning. That said, I think that we need to have board members that will question, challenge, push the administration, the district, to look at results and not just programs. That means that we go to the citizens and we say, okay, we have this equity committee, let's expand it, let's push it, let's set high standards, rigorous curriculum. And I say that we do this because when it comes to things that I'm running for, one is science and math curriculum that we have a standing committee. These are not just issues in talented and gifted science and math that are just for the elite students. These are for all students. This is a civil rights issue that we train kids to get to a point where they can serve in society. Heterogeneous and homogeneous classrooms. This is another issue where the district has just gone ahead and embraced a program without talking to teachers or community members or experts on the university level. And they raise the issue that, oh, well, we got to mix these kids up. We have to not do tracking. I say, why don't we have committees that can talk about this? That's what I want to do. Because there are resources available. Southern Poverty Law Center has a huge program where you can, it's called Mix It Up, where you get kids involved with each other on a regular basis. We have the fine arts, we have music, we have lunch. And these tend to be the areas where we cut. And so then we're left with heterogeneous classrooms that we don't have the resources to train these teachers at the level that they're expected to be trained to take a kid that can't read and a kid that is reading at a ninth grade level and put them together and expect a teacher to do not only that but classroom management. And I say what we need is more community involvement, more neighborhood schools, and that gets down to boundary issues and budget. We need to start looking at our schools as centers of community, areas where we can serve both the elderly, community and social groups, and education, instead of bricks and mortar where we send our kids and then have them leave. I want them to be dynamic and embrace this population and provide for these families. We have made no efforts.
If you could wind up, please.
Sure. We haven't made many efforts with this district to partner with local health insurance groups, the different hospitals, to actually provide health care in some of our schools, and I want to see more of that done.
Maya Cole, seat one, thank you very much. Arlene Silvera, seat one.
Thanks, John. I will answer the questions that were asked. The first one was homogeneous versus heterogeneous classes. I'm a proponent, as I've said throughout the campaign, of heterogeneous classes. I believe that the classroom is a microcosm of the real world, and I embrace the diversity. I also know that children learn from each other, and if we are truly going to challenge all of our children to reach their potential, then I believe the heterogeneous classroom is a way to do it. As I said earlier, 0.9% of African American students or in advanced placement classes. We've got to find a way to pull all of our kids together and challenge everyone. With that said, yes, teaching and learning is very critical. Teachers have to know how to teach the differentiated curriculum, and you do need the resources in the classroom to support the teachers and to support the learning styles of different children. Philosophically, I think it's important, and when you look at inclusion, that's why a lot of school districts come to Madison to learn from us. Very important to me. issues in front of the school board. I think it's critical to have a dialogue with the community. Our job as school board members are to represent the community, and that is something that I would advocate discussion. I think that's the only way that, you learn what's happening out there, what people feel. I don't think we need consensus. I think actually by hearing differences of opinion, you move forward. And I think we have to be open-minded. I think we have to be respectful by what everyone feels and what their opinion is on different school issues, and I think that's very critical. The budget. I think it's very important for the budget, for people to understand the budget. And I am an advocate of ensuring that when we look for budget cuts, that we do look at other areas, be it some of the supply areas and some of the things that that you did mention in your question. I don't think that as a district we have to report out, you know, the cost of every Band-Aid or every small thing to the public, but I think we have to build the trust with the public so that they understand that we are instructing the district to look at all areas for cuts before they hit the classroom. And the final one maybe goes back to answer your question. Maybe that's where the heterogeneous classrooms really come into play. I think by having different students of different experiences together, then you learn to share and you learn from each other. And to me, that's very critical.
Cassie, too.
Okay, I'm going to start with the issue of the question about the budget and building services, because I think this is an area where, in fact, district staff have come before the board to offer ways and alternatives to do things in ways that would preserve parts of the budget for staffing. Many citizens, including myself, have made recommendations over the years and haven't gotten very far, but I think it's an issue that is of concern, in part because, you know, if you grew up with Bill Proxmire and the Golden Fleece Awards, then, you know, you start thinking about $600 toilet seats and other sorts of things. And the fact is, there are areas where the costs don't really match what we would expect to see for results. I want to talk next about the heterogeneous grouping, because I find it unfortunate that this is always pitched as either you have heterogeneous grouping or you have this rigid tracking system. And I think that the solutions fall somewhere in between. We've heard some interesting discussions about heterogeneous groupings, but my reservations are that the models that were presented to the board, and there wasn't much follow-up on this, are models that really resemble charter schools, where you have a very explicit set of conditions and class sizes and control over who enrolls and the requirements of parents and so forth and so on, plus full staffing. And when I talk to people who are in the schools and people who support heterogeneous grouping, they have said to me that they assume that generous instepping for high ability students is part of that. That I have not heard discussed by the board. They also acknowledge that you really need a full range of the support staff that we've been taking out of the schools. So if we can find a way to put the support staff back and have instepping, so that high ability kids who the teacher is never going to get to can move to the next level and they're not held back, then I'm much more open to it. My concerns are right now with the current structure. We need to do some work before we have a successful model, and I want a successful model. I'd say the same thing for my nephew who had Down syndrome. He needed speech therapy. He would need to have, I want to make sure that those needs are met too. So That's sort of my and I see that I'm getting the finger, as it were.
No. You actually have about 45 seconds. Go ahead.
And so I think, you know, this has been a good discussion, and remind people that this is about democracy. It is about dissent. It is about questioning and asking for more information. And on April 4th, everybody going out and voting based on what you believe is going to best serve your children and the district and your neighbor's children. Thank you.
Okay. And Juan Jose Lopez, C2.
First of all, I want to thank you, John, and also Laura, and I want to thank the Mike 92.1, and also, of course, my three other colleagues here that have decided to take on a very important role on the school board, and I wish them all the best on April the 4th, but of course I hope you vote for me. Some of the issues that we talked about, and let me tell you, Madison and Milwaukee are segregated, folks, and I don't want to segregate our classrooms either. And that's what's happening. And I, you know, again, the discussion I've had on heterogeneous and homogeneous has been with children, not with adults, because remember, I know that adults know what they want for their children, but I've talked to children and I've talked to my nieces and nephews, and we have different learning styles and different learning abilities and so forth. And, you know, when my sister and my brother sit the kids down at the kitchen table, they don't segregate them by what they eat. They don't segregate them and put them in another room because you're a slow learner or because you're a high achiever. They sit them at the same table. And, again, I ran Project Opportunity for 7 years here in this community, and I learned what the segregation and the outright, in my opinion, the outright discrimination that was going on with some of our children in the Madison schools. When I got on the school board, that was one of the challenges that I talked about. We've had that discussion on heterogeneous and homogeneous for a long time, but there's a difference right now because it becomes a politically charged issue, and therefore you're not listening to me, you're not involving me, you're not engaging me. The board president has put it on the agenda, and we're not done discussing it. And it's been discussing the performance and achievement, and we need to bring experts on both sides. We have brought experts, and we need to bring them on both sides. And then the board sets a policy, and then the entire district moves forward with it. The budget process, you're absolutely right. We do need to cut in some of the areas that we cut, but it's not going to solve our $8 million crisis that we have. And this is not just Madison, Wisconsin that we have those issues. It's Middleton, Wisconsin. It's Monona Grove. I was in the swimming pool this morning with a board member from Monona Grove High School. We're talking about Monona Cross Plains issues. Those are issues of budgetary issues that are very important. Are we engaging the public? Do we have to engage the disenfranchised, the disconnected? Yes. And some of us do that. Not all of us do. Not everybody reads email. Not everybody has blogs. Not everybody has it. The families that I talk to at church on Sunday don't know what a blog is. But that's what people depend on communicating. Well, not me. I'm going to communicate with you one-on-one. And then the last issue that I'll talk about, I appreciate and respect that everybody's running, but my commitment, my leadership, and my anti-status quo is what I'm going to continue if you entrust me for another 3 years. I love being on the school board. I appreciate everybody that serves on the school board, whether I agree or not. But my commitment will not be wavered, and I will put children first. And I'm not just going to talk that. I'm going to do that. And those of you that have not been with me, come with me to Allied Drive. Come with me with my church tomorrow. Come with me to some of the other classes and programs that I go to where we're actually making a difference with children. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we actually have about a minute left, and with that in mind, and despite the limitations of the Internet, actually, I want to just go down the line, and if you could each give your website or other ways that people could find out more. Juan Jose Lopez, C2?
Yeah, my website, I said it wrong earlier, .com. I apologize. It's www.lopez2006.org, or you can also call me, email me. At votelopez@aol.com. Votelopez@aol.com.
Lucy Mathiak, also C2.
Okay, I'm going to do something really radical. I'm going to give you my phone number, 255-0939. I'm happy to talk to anybody. I do have teenagers who do a mixed job of taking messages, so if you don't succeed, try again. My website is www.votemathiak.com.
Arlene Silvera, seat one.
www.arleneforschoolboard.com. If you'd like to email, I'll spell it arlenesilv@aol.com, or you can call me 516-8981. Thank you all.
And Maya Cole, seat one.
My website is www.votemaya.com, and you can also reach me by phone at 259-0549.
Thanks to all four candidates for joining us today. Thank you for Communities United, MAFAC, and everything else. A very